Hi, thank you for joining the Agile Rising podcast. I'm your host, Christine O'Connor. Today, we're here speaking with Agile Rising's own Michelle Warner, and we're talking about why words matter and how the right ones can make you a more connected leader. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for joining.
My pleasure.
I first met Michelle actually about 8 or 9 years ago when she taught me my very first SAFE class, SAFE for Teams. It's a really long time ago.
And you were not supposed to mention how many years ago. It was just supposed to be a couple of years ago.
Well, in that short time frame, I've learned an incredible amount of information about you, Michelle. Not only are you an SPCT and thought leader in our industry, you also compete in competitive sailboating. And at one point in your career and your life, you were once a practicing lawyer. Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
So one of the impressions that people have of lawyers is that they're very specific about the language that gets used. And I can vouch that that is very true. And it's down to, not only are we taught in law school the basics of grammar, but they stick really close to words when you turn in your essays, right? If you are supposed to turn in something that's 1,000 words and you turn in something that's 1,001 words, you get penalized for doing that. But going back to the grammar thing and that the specificity of it, there's actually, if you go back and you look at Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, which is the one about being able to collect taxes, that semicolon that's there has been debated, fought over, gone to the Supreme Court a couple of times, and it has caused millions of dollars in lawsuits because of that. So if we want to talk about the importance of language, it was even being debated 200 years ago. And it continues to be debated now.
That is amazing. And you certainly highlighted a really great use case. What did you say? Article 1, Section 8. Just the fact that there was just one semicolon can truly make a difference in how something's understood. I mean, that really connects you, right? Creates a shared understanding. If that's not used correctly, then you're opening yourself up to a lot of different interpretations.
Very true. So the specificity of the words that we actually use are important.
Yes. When we're talking about our podcast, you were really looking at, because of your background and passion in language and how we communicate, that's really important in being mindful and connected as a leader today. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that?
Well, the interesting thing for me is that I was in a session with some leaders 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about content. And as a leader, what is it that people do to be content? Well, content and content are spelt exactly the same, but they mean two very different things. And if you're a non-native English speaker, which as we become more global, there are more people joining in the calls, they might not actually hear the difference in between content, content, and contempt. That conversation right there about content, content, and contempt drove for 15 minutes. We completely went down a rabbit hole because somebody was like, Michelle, why are you being contempt? Like, that's a bad word, right? This was a German native speaker. And I was like, no, content. Well, the content is a content. What does it mean? And I was like, no, content, like be at peace with the world around you. Be at peace with the decisions that you have to make as a leader. And that just drove yet another conversation with this group of people, right? So again, the specificity of the language, especially as we start to bring in and work with different cultures, or the fact that we're actually, most of us are now doing a lot of calls on Zoom and are not in person, is very important.
That's a really great example. Understanding your audience is super important when it comes to making sure we're communicating in the right way. And to your point, being really specific and intentional even with the language and words that we use.
Going off that, as a leader, when we talk about why language is important and the fact that the language and the words that leaders use can actually drive culture, having the thought behind any big messages that are going to be given, any town halls, any time that you're speaking from more of that leader position versus just having a sidebar conversation over a cup of coffee. Sometimes it's not even the words as much that matter as what's the feeling that you leave people with. Because what will also sometimes happen is that if people don't get stuck on the words, then they get stuck on the feeling that you left them with. But the words that you used drove that feeling.
Many times I don't necessarily remember what I hear, but I remember how I felt walking away from the conversation. Mm-hmm. You mentioned specificity of words. How else can you do that? How else can you really focus on more the impact that you want to leave on your audience?
There are two major tools from a leadership perspective that are not that easy to pick up. So just work on one at a time. But one of them is storytelling. Because if you throw up a PowerPoint and you talk about, here are the numbers we're trying to hit and things like that, people won't remember that if you don't tell them the story as to why is it that you're trying to hit those numbers or why is it that we're doing something. When working at Aetna, I worked for a manager there that was this amazing, amazing manager because he was actually a vice president of the digital group that we had there. And he had this way of speaking and creating stories and pulling at heartstrings that really motivated people to work. Oh, that sounds horrible, like motivated people to work, but it engaged them in the work. Again, specificity of language. Yeah, motivated them to work, but you know, hey, you should be motivated because you're getting paid. But actually, it engaged people into the work that was being done, right? Because he would tell these stories, like he talked about trying to uncomplicate the medical jargon and turn it into conversations at the kitchen table.
Wow, that seems almost like so relatable, right? You know, when you said that, my next immediate thought was an image sitting around a kitchen table having a conversation. Mm-hmm.
But that's the way he told stories. He would tell a story, like another story that he talked about was his wife is a pediatrician. And she would come home and they would have conversations at the dinner table where she was like, it was heartbreaking for her because we have the technology to be able to do some early detection of some things in kids that if we catch it later, it's too late. They have it for the rest of their life. But if we catch it early enough, they can actually help do the medical stuff that's necessary to help fix it, right? But as a pediatrician in her office, she doesn't have access to that. But my leader was saying, I can build that software if we have the technology. So he put together the story and the way he told it was, my wife was treating this child who came in and it broke her heart that she couldn't actually take a picture with her phone to be able to look at the eyes and be able to tell if there was an issue. Because we have the technology to do it, we just don't have the software to interpret it. And so he's like, I want you all to help me build the software that is going to change children's lives.
Wow. I mean, talk about creating a vision.
Right.
A compelling story and vision of not necessarily the how, but certainly the what. Right? What we can do.
Well, and the why is it? Because we want to help little kids be healthy. Who doesn't want to help little kids be healthy? Now, that's so much better than saying, hey, we're going to be building something that is going to be taking a picture of somebody's eye. And based upon that, they're going to be able to tell that they've had an aneurysm. Okay, that's great. That's amazing. But we're going to be helping little kids live longer, not have brain problems, not have hearing problems. That's a much more compelling story. That's all a part of storytelling and about understanding the feelings that we leave people with.
It's inspirational, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you want to be a part of something that's great. Who doesn't want to be a part of something great and impactful and something that truly makes a difference?
But I have to say, as somebody that always had to follow him and speak after him, my position sucked. Because It was amazing, inspirational person, and I had to follow and do the thing up. And now I need you to know about normalized capacity. And by the way, storytelling is not something that people are born with. It's a skill that you learn how to do. And there are ways to help you improve your storytelling.
That totally makes sense. You know, early on in my career, I started out in software quality and testing, and I didn't have much experience speaking in front of people, let alone trying to help take people along a journey. And I wish I knew some tips earlier on in my career that could have helped me along the way. Give me some examples of things that you might recommend to somebody if they're looking to maybe improve how they do storytelling.
I like things in threes, right? So the first thing is think about what's the message that you're trying to get out. Then what's the feeling that you want to leave people with? Because storytelling does involve feelings. So you're trying to engage people, are you trying to motivate people, are you trying to make people happy, are you trying to impart bad news? You know, really think about what it is, but you can't have the feeling without the message first. And then think about the great stories that we all hear about. There's always a protagonist. You know, who's the protagonist of the story and what's the journey they're going through to get that message across? So that's three. But then you can think about, do you start in the middle? Like think of some of the great movies that you've been to that start in the middle. Do you start at the end and you do like a retrospective going backwards? If you're talking about, wow, I'm going to tell a story about how did we end up here? Well, here we are. You know, we're doing a retrospective. How did we end up here? Well, we started on our journey 2 months ago. You know, then you go backwards. So you have to think about all of that as you're starting to create all of this. And it is a skill.
You know, that reminds me, I once took a poetry writing class and we were practicing how to write haiku. And we took many different approaches in the class. So we would approach it from writing it from start to finish as you would experience it. Then we practiced writing it backwards from the end impact all the way forward. And then we practiced focusing on different perspectives, starting at different points of the journey. And what I found fascinating about that was each story was correct. It just left you with a different feeling. So that definitely makes sense to me.
And my gosh, if you're trying to do a haiku, that's like three lines, right?
It's been a long time since I was in college, Michelle. Shush. I feel terrible saying I don't remember.
Like, I think it's like three lines and not that many syllables to try and get that message across.
Well, you know, these are really great tips. You know, what's the message you're trying to send? What are the feelings you want to leave people with? And who the protagonist is? And if I'm just getting started, what are some ways that I might be able to fine-tune the message I'm trying to communicate?
So storytelling is one, right? And that's probably the most powerful way to do it. And the best way, honestly, is just to practice and just start practicing with people that you know. Because you know this, because sometimes, Christine, I've been like, oh, I want to tell you a story. Little did you know I was practicing my storytelling on you.
And you know, hopefully the ones closest to us or the ones that we know the most are the ones that are most open with their feedback. That's a really great approach. What are some different ways that we can better understand the true feelings we want to leave people with? I'm really thinking about if I want to leave somebody inspirational, you can paint a certain why picture. But if you want to leave somebody curious, what are some ways that you might be able to approach really invoking these different feelings? Do you have to know all of your audience before you start to really put your message together? Or what is a just enough approach to get started?
I was actually thinking that as I was trying to think of, wow, so that means that when you're storytelling, you have to be aware of the audience that you're going to be storytelling to, because, you know, I'm a huge 80-20 person, right? Not everybody's always going to be hearing the same message that you're trying to get out there. And people are going to misinterpret some of whatever it is that you're trying to, the words that you're using, content, 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 perfect example. So I think it is important to understand the audience and tailor your message to the audience.
Thinking about how we started our conversation with, and it's a tough word, specificity. Thinking about that, knowing your audience, understanding the feelings that you want to invoke, that really can help you be more specific in the word choices that you have and really ultimately lead to more effective storytelling.
Very much so. If you think about as a consultant, when you've gone into a certain organization, if you're going into someplace that is more healthcare based, you're going to pull on your knowledge of healthcare and talk about Medicare, Medicaid, this group of people, that group of people, and use more of that kind of language. If you're going someplace that is more manufacturing based, then you might start throwing in more examples that have to do with safety and with lean and with flow, because that resonates more, right? That's part of what you have to think about also. Who is your audience as you try to get this message across?
So Michelle, tell me, what are a few ways that leaders can better connect with their audience?
So this one is more of a one-on-one kind of thing, where storytelling is not necessarily as much one-on-one, but definitely asking powerful questions. And the thing that makes a question powerful, it's really easy. You don't start with why. You start with what. Let me give you an example. Hey, Christine, why did you do that? Versus, right. Hey, Christine, what were the circumstances that led to that decision?
Right. It certainly doesn't make me feel defensive. It almost sounds like you come across a bit curious in that example.
Right. Or what were the circumstances that led to that action? You know, what was going on that caused all of that to happen? Versus why did that happen?
It's almost like your intent is to learn.
So coming from a place of curiosity.
It's important.
Right. Lieutenant Commander David Marquette has this amazing book about his experience in the submarine, and he talks about leadership by intent. And when you do leadership by intent, you create the intent instead of the directions. And one of the ways that you do that is by asking questions.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of us being in this water versus 280 degrees south southwest dive? I can't do it as well as you can. You know. So there's the whole thing of coming from a place of curiosity. And even if you are coming from a place of curiosity, not starting the question with a why.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. So once you understand the what and you start to learn and you come from this place of curiosity, then what else might you recommend?
The other one that I, and this is my personal rant, and you know this, using the word, I know you're laughing because you know it's coming. Using the word resources to talk about people, because people are not interchangeable. They are not resources. As soon as you start thinking about resources, you know, you're thinking, oh, it's one Lego piece. I'm going to change out this white Lego piece for this white Lego piece. But people are not interchangeable in that manner.
Yeah, it's almost like you remove the true value that each individual person brings uniquely.
And think about what the message that a leader is giving, if they say, I want you to bring your humanness to work. I want you to be engaged. I want you to bring your creativity and your passion. And you're one of my three resources that reports into me.
Yes, that does create not the warm and fuzzy feeling as the first part of that message did.
Right? Versus, I want you to bring your humanness to work. I want you to bring your passion and your energy to work. And I'm so excited to have you as one of my three people on my team.
Yes, definitely a lot more welcoming and accepting.
So who do you want to be as a leader?
Yes, asking powerful questions, really being curious. I like to call that green light thinking, right? What else is it that I need to learn? And using the right words. You mentioned resources. You're a resource on my team. I mean, the word resource is used throughout organizations, even in many different ways. So thinking back to your specificity topic, I mean, how many different ways is resources used in an organization?
Well, even just the people that are supposed to be taking care of the people, human resources. The HR title, you know, it's, and it really makes a really big difference.
Or resources as in physical assets too, right? Yeah.
As you always hear me say, I'm not a chair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I've heard you say often over the last 8 years. Thinking about all of the things that we've talked about, what are the three things that you would like to leave our listeners with?
One is the very first one that I started off with, which is work on one thing at a time. So don't overload yourself. Don't make it be like a really big deal. If you want to get rid of the word resources from your language, then work on that first. The second one is start thinking about the way that you ask questions and see if you can start asking your questions with what, and start off with what happened versus why did that happen? What was the situation? What was going on that caused this to happen? Versus why did you react in that manner? Start your conversations with what instead of why. So getting to those powerful questions. And then the third one is practice your storytelling. And it doesn't have to be something big. You know, it can start off with something small like, hey, honey, my favorite restaurant is something Italian because the Italian food reminds me of my grandmother when she used to put out these huge spreads on the table. And so every time I go in, I eat Italian food, it just, this feeling of warmthness and after I eat the pasta fullness overcomes me. But I really feel like I need that pick-me-up right now. So can we go have Italian?
Oh, lovely.
And I just told you a little story.
Who could say no to that? Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining and for talking about your passion about why words matter. I definitely feel like with those tips, anybody could be a more connected leader.
I hope so. It is a passion about why language is important and how is it that it can help drive culture from my perspective. So
awesome.
Thank you, Christine, for hosting me and for having me on here.